Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, Governing to Win, exploring ideas to enhancing national competitiveness. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. The IBM Center has recently published Governing to Win, Enhancing National Competitiveness Through New Policy and Operating Approaches, edited by Chuck Proe, which brings together insightful essays by leading thinkers and practitioners that offer a long-term strategy to improve national competitiveness. How can our nation better compete to win in today's global economy? What is national competitiveness? And how can the federal government's purchasing and supply chains be transformed? Today, we will explore these questions and so much more with our guest, Raj Sharma, founder of the Federal Acquisition, Innovation, and Reform Institute, and contributor to Governing to Win, Enhancing National Competitiveness Through New Policy and Operating Approaches. Raj, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thank you for having me here.
So I've been asking all the folks who've contributed to the book Governing to Win, what actually is meant by the concept of national competitiveness? Could you give me your perspective?
Sure. So I could define competitiveness more generally, but I'll define it in the context of purchasing and supply chain management and the topic that I wrote about in the book. So from that perspective, regardless of whether you believe in small government, large government, whatever the size of government, I think everyone would agree that we want an effective government and a government that really maximizes every dollar's value. And so from that standpoint, really, government has so many very complex policy areas. So in terms of competitiveness, whether it's infrastructure or clean energy or education, whatever innovation, to do all of those things, the government definitely needs help from its supply chain partners, right? So the way we look at it, if we want a competitive federal government that can help U.S. be the strongest economy, strongest nation in the world, then we really need to leverage the best capabilities in the most efficient way possible from its supply chain. So the way I think about it is if we can align the supply chain partners with the federal government's priority areas that really are leading to competitiveness, then we can really help accomplish the goal, overall goal of competitiveness.
So Raj, the federal government purchases more than I understand $500 billion of goods and services each year. In setting the stage, would you outline why the federal government purchasing process is cumbersome and inefficient? And what are some of the key reasons for this situation?
Well, it's just an extremely, extremely complex environment. I've thought about three or four key reasons. One is you look at every department out there. Are extremely decentralized. First of all, these are very large, complex bureaucracies to begin with, and then they're very decentralized. So the people at the top, yes, they control policy, et cetera, but in many ways, the funding, whether it's through appropriations, et cetera, flows down directly to sub-organizations. And so it's very decentralized. Having any kind of coordination and control is very difficult. The process then of that's dictated through the FAR as well as just through other policies that are layered on top is extremely complex. So as we know, the intent of the FAR is really to ensure best value. But in many ways, it works against that because of the complexity. We've layered so much complexity that it's created extra cost both for operating the procurement process as well as for the supply chain partners. So they're incurring a lot of costs. Third is really this is one of the defining areas that I think adds the most complexity is stakeholders in terms of whether we're looking at responding to congressional requests or we're talking about special interest groups. Just knowing what those set of stakeholders are, what policies or what areas they might be interested in. For instance, we need to comply with small business goals, right? And there's a whole small business lobby and interest groups around that. Again, nobody would disagree with those goals, but it just adds complexity in terms of where private sector entities may be able to just think about, okay, how do we streamline our supply chain and go to one supplier in that example? Mm-hmm. federal government can't do that. And the fourth is funding. Really, the way the funding flows through appropriations, a lot of times a single-year process, as well as we know that anybody who's lived in this town knows about continuing resolutions. Mm-hmm. So all of those things really add a level of inefficiency mm-hmm. because suppliers, when one, programs aren't able to plan, two, suppliers don't have visibility into how much business are they really going to get. So that adds more cost for them as a result.
And as you point out in your very balanced piece, it's not all bad news. There were some and have been some opportunities to reform the current system, but some of them have been incremental and others haven't really worked out. Could you give us some of the maybe highlight some of the primary reasons why previous reforms didn't work?
Well, in my estimation, at least as I've gone back and studied and looked at different reform efforts, one of the things that's lacking, it's a lot of times it's a reaction when we start a reform, whether it's impending cuts, et cetera, which is fine. And you want to use the current environment as a basis to build a burning platform. But a lot of times these efforts get grounded in just really addressing the current issue as opposed to having a clear vision for what the end goal is. Mm-hmm. Right? And without that end goal, we're not really solving the problem. We might be addressing the specific issue at hand for that day mm-hmm. or for that year, for that administration, but we're not addressing what are the systemic issues that are wrong with the system. So one, we haven't seen a clear vision of what is the system supposed to accomplish. And then two, because we don't do that, a lot of times, so we're talking about cost cuts and some agencies, say, take on restructuring contracts, for instance, right? What they're not doing is changing underlying organizations, processes, policies, et cetera. So maybe you streamline and restructure a contract and gets government the best value for that period, right? But because we haven't changed the underlying behaviors, et cetera, and the policies, processes, all of those things creep back in. Mm-hmm. And so we really end up in the same place as we have before. So that's why you have this reform discussion going on for decades. Mm-hmm.
How has the current fiscal environment provided an unprecedented opportunity to not only transform the way government purchases, but the way it manages its supply chain?
Well, there are a couple of things going on right now. One, everybody knows the whole budget picture, no matter where you live. You don't have to be in D.C. to understand that. So this is really the best time. There's never been a time that I can remember where agencies really have to start to think about how do we live within its means and actually do more with less. And then the acquisition process itself, because of some of the pitfalls and some of the issues that have happened over time, has gotten so much scrutiny. It's also because of the amount of money being spent, over $500 billion, that there's a lot of attention being paid to supply chain and procurement and all those issues, how government buys and manages. So that's really brought the attention at the leadership level. So it started to create more of a platform for what do we do about it. So we finally have the leadership's attention, as well as if we can tie it to the budget picture and say not only can the government reduce costs, but honestly, in the examples and the areas that I'll highlight, we can actually think by reducing costs because you're simplifying the process in many ways and taking the complexity away, you can actually be more effective while reducing cost.
So to what extent does your pragmatic approach that you lay out in your piece go beyond simply the discussion of tactics and more towards expressed reform?
Well, when I started thinking about this and when John Kaminsky approached me about writing this chapter, I had been thinking about this for a while, and so this was an avenue to write through. But the fundamental question to me, just like any program, so if we take any program or any strategic initiative or anything you're doing, you have to think about what's the end goal. What will I consider success, right? What measures of success are there? In terms of going beyond tactics to becoming really more strategic in our thinking, I've really thought about what's the goal of procurement? What do we want? Do we want it to most effectively align the best suppliers so we can meet our mission, right, in the most efficient way? And what are the performance measures help ensure compliance against all the rules, et cetera, right? Make sure that we're meeting small business goals. What are really the end goals? What are those key performance measures, outcome measures that we would look at, and then really design the system to enable those?
Your piece for Governing to Win is Rethink Government Purchasing and Supply Chains. And you do a wonderful job outlining 9 recommendations, and they're very concrete recommendations. But before we delve into each recommendation, I want to understand how you came up with each one and what research went into crafting them. And can you tell us a little bit about how you did it?
So it's really a – I'll just say it's a body of work over time. And it was in that I – was undertaking a project just to write this chapter. It was really a body of work. One, I personally have over 18 years of experience working both with large private sector organizations as well as with government on really addressing supply chain procurement issues. So I understand a lot of the best practices, et cetera. Also consulted with over the past several years and been working with experts both in industry, people like Dave Nelson, who's very well known and as a supply chain guru, former head of Honda of America purchasing, John Deere purchasing. He helped transform those organizations. And also working with academics in leading institutions like Michigan State University, for instance, is considered, was ranked number one as a supply chain school, and working with the faculty there and looking at their body of work and really closely with them. So that, and then finally also working with and talking to federal executives and understanding their challenges. So not only are we talking about private sector practices, but how do they really fit in the federal environment?
What about pursuing a pragmatic approach to transforming the role of government purchasing? We will explore this question and so much more when the special edition of the Business of Government Hour, Governing to Win, returns.